The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right, you guys, good morning. Or good afternoon. Did we just pass the 12 o'clock? That's usually what happens. Yeah. Good afternoon. Good to have you guys with us today. Jerry and I were just chatting a couple minutes ago. Josiah, could you turn me down just a notch? I'm a little hot. Thanks. Not as hot as Peter, but that's the joke right now. I don't know why. I mean, I don't think it's a joke. Yeah, Peter's a good-looking guy. I don't think it's not a joke, right? Okay. Oh, it is. Okay. I started to say something serious, and you know, I wasn't going to say anything serious, so that's okay. I didn't ruin the vibe. So in our series, as you guys know, this has been an adventure, you know, and we themed it around this action adventure feel. And Jerry and I were just talking in the back, and he was asking me, you know, what passage I was covering today, and then he said, "Does anybody die today?" Because, you know, it's been one of those series where, you know, we've been losing some people in our series, and there's been some real action. I'm like, okay, no one dies today, so, well, maybe come back next week if you're expecting that. There's still action and adventure, but yeah, no one's life gets taken in today's message. but anything can happen. The early church, God is moving. Some amazing things are going on. And this has been, I hope you guys have been getting a lot out of this series so far. We're a few chapters into the book of Acts. We're going to be looking in Acts chapter 10 and 11 today. And so just continuing the adventure. But the title of today's message is Trespassing Forbidden Borders. All right. So we're going to be talking about when the Spirit leads beyond the walls that we have built. That's going to be kind of our running theme today. But as you guys know, every great adventure comes with a warning. There's a point in the adventure, and if you've watched any of the Indiana Jones films, you know that there's this beware moment where it's like, don't go any further, don't go into this section of the map because there's danger that awaits you, right? It's a restricted area, keep out. You don't want to encounter what would take place here. Sometimes that line exists because people just don't want us to go there. They don't want us to cross over into that area. But sometimes we create those lines. We create those boundaries. We create those spaces where we're like, okay, this is not a place that I want to go. This is not a place that I want to spend time. It's outside of my comfort zone. It's not a place where I'm hoping God sends me. And we all have those places. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. But realize this, that in the action-adventure film, the treasure always lies beyond that danger zone, right? So they have to go into that area. They have to go into that restricted, forbidden area in order for them to accomplish the mission. And the same thing is true for us as followers of Jesus. You might struggle with, you know, the thoughts that creep into your head, like, you know, people like me don't belong in places like this or in situations like this. Or nothing good is out there for me beyond this particular limitation. But the thing that we need to realize, and I guess we need to speculate a little bit when it comes to the Holy Spirit and where God is leading us. What if the greatest discoveries that God has for us are waiting on the other side of the line that we're afraid to cross? What if the pivotal moment in our walk with Jesus is just on the other side of that act of obedience, of stepping into a place where we don't feel comfortable and we don't necessarily want to go, but God is calling us to go there. So that's what we're going to discover today in the story from Acts 10 through 11. There's going to be danger, as always. There's going to be risk. There's going to be a stepping where you're not supposed to step. We have in these chapters crossing forbidden boundaries, following God's leading into unfamiliar places, None of these sound comfortable, okay? I said no one was going to die today, but I didn't say it was going to be comfortable. Because we're going to talk about what it means to go into spaces where we don't necessarily want to be, but God's Spirit compels us to go there. So Peter finds himself standing at this line that he never imagined that he would be crossing. It's not a geographical line necessarily. It's more of a traditional line. He's about to trespass a border that he spent his whole life protecting. He's about to go somewhere that he spent his entire life trying to keep separate from his existence. The Holy Spirit is the one that's telling him to cross that line. So I think this is something we need to understand about God's Spirit and about the gospel message, and that is that the gospel keeps trespassing the boundaries that we put in place. We put boundaries in place, and God's gospel continues to trespass into those spaces where we're like, oh, I don't think I want to go there, or I don't think I belong there. And this is what we're going to discover here. In Acts 10, God's Spirit disturbs our borders. God's Spirit disturbs our borders sometimes. Let's look at Acts 10, 1 through 8. It says, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. That's kind of the standard response, right? When an angel shows up, it's always terror. It's always fear. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. So immediately, Cornelius responds to what the angel of the Lord is telling him to do right away. So this passage introduces us to this guy, Cornelius, not to be confused with a guy named Cornelius that we talk about at Christmas time, who is part of our Christmas series. Unrelated to the Bible. But what do we know about this man, Cornelius? Just from this short introduction, we find out that he's a Roman centurion, that he is a Gentile, meaning he's not Jewish. He is God-fearing, and he is spiritually hungry. These are unique descriptions, I believe, for an individual like Cornelius in the position that he holds and the people group that he's a part of. This is an unusual description, but this is where we find this man, Cornelius. We find him in a place where God is already doing something in Cornelius's life. God's already in motion in his life. All right. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're going to say that because we've been talking a lot about the early church and what's happening with the apostles. And so back at the ranch, Acts 10, 9 through 16, let's check in on Peter. It says, the next day at Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town. Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. And while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Some versions say he just dozed off. He fell asleep. But as we're going to discover, this is a very active experience that he has. He saw the sky open. Something like a large sheet was let down by its 4 corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. No, Lord, Peter declared. I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. Same vision was repeated 3 times. I guess Peter needed to get it, really get it, right? Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Now, keep in mind, Peter saw the vision 3 times in a row, and he's still a little confused. The light bulb's about to come on for him, though. Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. All right, so Peter receives this vision from the Lord. Similarly, Cornelius had also received a vision from the Lord, right? Two visions, two different people, two different spaces they live in. The angel in this case, or the Lord, says to Peter, you know, rise up, kill and eat. Peter refuses to do it. He's like, nope, I've been taught not to do that. And the Lord's like, well, let me tell you something. I'm telling you to do it, right? Peter's like, I've never done this before. God responds and he says, well, God has made clean, do not call unclean. So Peter's trying to figure this out. You see, God is actually leading Peter into this divine appointment with Cornelius, who is of a people group outside of the Jewish people that they consider unclean, that they consider not the kind of company that you keep. It quickly becomes clear to Peter what the meaning of this vision that God gave him was. It wasn't about God making lunch for Peter, although I'm pretty sure that would have been a pretty awesome spread of food, right? Maybe not the reptiles, but everything else, right? But it wasn't about the meal. It wasn't about the food that he was presenting to him. It was about the message. It was about the old religious rules that Peter was still following. And God was showing Peter that he was about to change his way of thinking. And then all of a sudden, these dudes show up on Peter's ring camera, right? All of a sudden, these guys are there at his gate. And they're like, is there a guy named Peter here? We need to see him. It was a real life opportunity for Peter to put into practice exactly what God was revealing to him. He had allowed traditional religious rules to keep him from taking the greatest message of love to people who were not like him. See, the Jewish people, the early church, they were not taking the gospel message to the Gentiles. Oh, they were taking plenty of gospel to the Jewish people. They were making sure that all the people in their region heard about this, but they weren't connecting the gospel to the Gentiles, the people that were outside the Jewish race. Peter thought he was protecting holiness, right? He had all these religious traditions, and he thought that he was protecting something, but what he was actually doing was he was limiting God's mercy and grace. So Peter's learning an important truth that the prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. How many times do you feel like God has to tell you that? I feel like God and I have a regular conversation, and this is almost always God's part of it, right? Jeremiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. You know, you come up with these ideas and these perspectives and these attitudes, and he's like, yeah, that's not how that's supposed to go down. God has a different way of seeing and a different way of thinking and a different way of understanding. Here's the thing. We need to see things through God's eyes. We need to have God's perspective. And this is what God is inviting Peter into. He's inviting him in to see things through his eyes, to see God's way of thinking. And God's way of thinking includes every single person hearing the gospel, knowing the message of hope. That's God's way. Galatians 3:28 tells us there's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So he's like, all these categories, all these stereotypes, all these different file folders that we put people in, God is saying those don't exist when it comes to the gospel. The gospel is for everyone, and every single person is on the same footing when it comes to hearing this message of forgiveness and grace. The lesson is true for us as well. My friends, tradition is dangerous when it starts fencing people out of God's grace. It's easy. It's easy for us to do that because we're used to our own way of doing things. And maybe you wouldn't actually come out and say, oh, I'm not going to share God's love with that person because they're not worthy of God's love. You would never say that. But there are certain people that you're not going to approach with the gospel. There are certain people that you're not going to spend time with to get to know them, to build a relationship with them so that you can share God's love with them. Why is that? Because we have cultural boundaries. We have a prejudice We have all kinds of walls that we've built or we've allowed to be passed down to us. Maybe some of the traditions that you're still living out were handed down to you from your parents, and it was handed down to them from their grandparents. And it was handed down to them from their church. You know, there's a starting point for all these things, but it's not founded in God's principles and what God wants to do and who God wants to reach. So we need to understand. See, Peter's problem wasn't that he lacked passion, wasn't that he lacked zeal. I mean, Peter was getting up and preaching to thousands of people about the gospel. It wasn't that he lacked passion, it was human assumptions that he had that we all carry with us. It was that mental baggage that we all carry with us that keeps us from really doing what God is calling us to do. Tim Keller said this. He said, "The gospel creates a new humanity beyond the walls that normally divide us." Sometimes I look around at the folks in our church family here and I ask myself, would we all spend time together were it not the bond that we had in Jesus? Were it not the fact that we all love Jesus, would we all be in the same room together? Would we all spend Tuesday nights together in the Bible study and cracking jokes and drinking coffee? See, the gospel does something to our hearts. It allows us to open up to new people and new experiences and new ways of thinking. And it's definitely not new to God because it's been part of his plan all along. He wants us to bring the gospel to each and every person who would listen to us. But it might be new to us because God might be telling you, hey, it's time to cross over to an uncomfortable space and share the gospel with someone that you may not normally hang out with or talk to. See, once God changed Peter's perspective, he immediately changes Peter's direction that he's heading. Because God's Spirit leads us into uncomfortable places. Said it was going to get uncomfortable. It probably is. God's Spirit leads us into uncomfortable places. The Spirit will sometimes trespass the borders that your comfort wants to defend. You know, you have boundaries that the only thing protecting those boundaries is your own comfortability, right? Your own ability to feel content. I'm okay, I'm good with where I'm at. And that's where I'm putting this wall. That's where I'm putting this boundary. But God's Spirit is saying, you're gonna need to cross over to the other side in order to do what God's calling you to do. Look what happens in our passage. Verse 19 in chapter 10, the Holy Spirit said to Peter, 3 men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them. I think at this point, Peter's just like, he's still processing the dream. And as he's making his way down, he's like, okay, there's dudes that are here. This has to be connected in some way. What's going on? So Peter went down and said, I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come? They said, we were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. Red flag. All right, Peter's like, oh, okay. I think I'm starting to figure this out. Then he says, he's a devout and God-fearing man, well respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message. So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. Next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up, I'm a human being just like you. So they talked together and went inside, where many others were assembled. Peter told them, you know, it's against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this. I don't think Peter had to say that. I think it was kind of the elephant in the room, and Peter's just like, kind of has a big mouth anyway. And so he's just like, you know, I'm just going to say it. This isn't typical. This isn't normal. You guys know it's against our traditions, our rules, our religious ways, and you guys frown on it as well. So he's just like, let's just get that out there. This is uncomfortable for everybody. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. I'm sure at that point they kind of looked at each other like, what? Is he calling us impure, unclean? What, like, so I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me. Peter's like, I'm here. I've broken all the rules by showing up here. God told me to come. God told you to invite me. What are we here for? Why have we all gathered here? So the Spirit tells Peter, go to this place without any hesitation. Don't pause. Don't hesitate. Don't ask any questions. Just go. Peter enters Cornelius' house. It's shocking to everybody. Jewish law, culture, all this is being, you know, thrown out the window. Peter's literally stepping into forbidden territory. My friends, Peter isn't just walking into a house. He's stepping into a lifetime of assumptions and stereotypes and things that he's been avoiding. That's what's happening here. That's probably why Peter states the obvious here. Like, I'm not even supposed to be here. But that's what happens when you allow God's Holy Spirit to lead you. When you allow God's Spirit to lead you. My friends, make no mistake. Following Jesus will eventually lead you beyond familiar borders. If you're serious about following Jesus and doing what Jesus is asking you to do, you're going to end up in uncomfortable places. You're going to end up in places where you feel like you don't belong. But you do belong there because the gospel message belongs there. And it's the greatest message in the world. And you have that message. Most of the time, those places are going to be uncomfortable. You're probably going to have to deal with the relationship in your life, with a connection you have with someone who you've been avoiding. Which is why we're told in Romans 15:7, therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Here's the impressive thing about this. When you step out of your comfort zone to connect somebody with God, with the gospel, to share God's love with them, you know what happens? God's the one that gets the glory for that. It's not like you're a special person because you did that. You're simply being obedient to what God's called you to do. And no one's going to look at you and be like, oh, that's impressive. They're going to be like, wow, God did something there. Because I know Jeremiah wouldn't have done that on his own, right? God did something there. James 2, verse 1. James says, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? Oh, man. James just kind of, we did a whole series on James. It was just like a gut punch every week, right? James is just like, how'd you like that one, right? Right in the gut. He's like, how can you even say you have a faith in Jesus? How can you even claim to be a follower of Jesus if you're favoring one person over another? If you're only sharing the gospel and God's love with a certain type of person, with a place and a person in a people group that makes you feel comfortable. You can't. Obviously can't belong to Jesus, James is saying, because that's not who Jesus is. My friends, you cannot reach people while avoiding people. You can't reach people with the gospel while avoiding people. And let me just tell you, we spend a good part of our day avoiding people. Avoiding conversations, avoiding connections. I'm guilty of it too, okay? I'm not just singling anybody out. Who was it that was saying, you know, when Jeremiah's, you know, talking, it's like someone's been reading my journal, right? Like, what's going on? I'm talking to myself too here. There are places that I'm not comfortable. There are people that I avoid. That's just me being honest, right? I won't tell the story. I'll tell the story. There used to be a guy that always wanted to meet with me, and I used to tell my secretary, when this guy pulls up in the driveway, let me know, and I'm going to go out the back. That's how badly I did not want to be in the same room with this person. And there was a whole lot of other reasons, but it reminded me of who I really am at times, the person that's trying to avoid that conversation, trying to avoid it. Maybe Jesus is asking you to step into an uncomfortable place and have a conversation with someone that you don't necessarily care for. But guess who does care for that person? Jesus. Jesus loves that person. Jesus died for that person, for that people group, for those people that hang out in that place. Jesus died for them, and the gospel message is for them. It's like David Platt said, Jesus moved toward people that others moved away from. I think I want to be a little more like Jesus. I want to move towards people that others are moving away from. If we're going to be more like Jesus, that's just how we have to operate. My friends, the gospel has always crossed borders that comfortable religion refused to cross. You want to have comfortable religion? I'll tell you what, just come to church every Sunday. You might have to not listen to some of the stuff that me and Jerry say, all right? You might have to plug your ears sometimes if you're going to be really comfortable. But it's real comfortable to just kind of, you know, show up to church and be around the people that you want to fellowship with, you want to hang out with. But maybe God is saying, I don't want you to be comfortable. I want you to be holy. I want you to be my messenger. I want you to be the one that delivers the hope to the people that really need to hear it. When Peter finally crosses that line, he discovered God had already crossed it before him. God's already working in Cornelius' life. God's already doing something. Peter shows up to find out what God's already at work doing. God's Spirit shows us where he's already moving. God's Spirit shows us where he's already moving. Look at verse 33. So I sent for you at once. It was good of you to come. Now we're all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Right? They're just like, Peter, we're all here. We're ready. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. The light bulb's on full now, right? Completely bright now. It's the dimmer switch is all the way up. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He's the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Even as Peter was saying all these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. Okay, so do you see what happened? Pretty much everything, right? Peter shares the same gospel, the same message he shared to those 3,000 people and the 5,000 people, right? All those people that would be added to the church as Peter keeps repeating the same message. It sounds familiar, right? It sounds like rinse and repeat because Peter's just sharing the gospel. He keeps telling people, okay, this is what happened. Jesus came. Jesus died for you. He was raised again. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's just going through and he's saying all the same things. And what's happening? The Holy Spirit's already working. God's Spirit's already working in Cornelius and his family's lives. God's already doing something. Peter's just the instrument that's just adding that last bit of water to the seed that's already there. I love how at the same time that Cornelius is experiencing a life-changing moment with God, Peter also is experiencing a life-changing moment. It's a little different than Cornelius, right? Cornelius is being exposed to the gospel and to the Holy Spirit. Peter is being exposed to the grace and mercy of God that's extended to everyone, and it completely is shifting the way he thinks. And all of a sudden he realizes, oh, this is meant for the entire world. This is for everyone. And so he's having a moment with Jesus as well. And he tells even, Peter's not even shy about saying that. He's just like, yeah, I had it all wrong. Reality is God shows no favoritism, and that's why I'm here to share with you guys. This is special, guys. because this is not something that had happened outside of the early church and the Jewish believers. And what's more, it was already in motion before Peter even got there. My friends, sometimes God sends you somewhere to start a work, but God sends you somewhere not to start a work, but to discover that he's already working. God will send you somewhere not to start something new, but maybe to finish something that God's already started. Or just to find out a way that God's moving, and you will be profoundly impacted by that experience. The early explorers often believed that they were discovering territory. And the reality is people had already lived there for centuries. When Lewis and Clark reached the Pacific Ocean, right? They're trying to find a way across the continent to the Pacific Ocean through that Louisiana Purchase, that huge section of land. And so Lewis and Clark, they paved the way, right? And they reached the Pacific Ocean, and they're heralded as these great explorers of the American West. But the territory that they passed through, that they discovered, was already known by dozens of Native American tribes who had lived there for generations. Entire civilizations had lived there. Families lived there. Cultures flourished there. History was already written in that place that they discovered, right? Lewis and Clark thought that they were discovering something. In reality, they were just learning something that a bunch of other people already knew about. That's probably why we're told in Ecclesiastes there's nothing new under the sun, right? You're really not discovering something that somebody else didn't already know. And even if it's a person that didn't know it, God knew it, and so you're really not making a new revelation. The same is true for us. Sometimes what we call a divine assignment is really an invitation to discover what God has already been at work. God is just saying, I'm already doing something. I just want to show you what I'm doing. And so we're not explorers out there finding new territory. I mean, for us, it feels like that at times. It can be scary to step into unfamiliar places. It can be uncomfortable to step into places that we're not used to being. But we're not going into undiscovered territory. We're going into places where God's Spirit is already working. Something's already going on there. That's why Jesus said in John 4:35, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. In other words, I've already done all the work. All you got to do is cross the line. All you got to do is go over and take a look and see what I'm doing. In his book, Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby said, watch to see where God is working and join him in his work. Pay attention to where God's Holy Spirit is working, and then just be obedient and follow him into those places where he's already doing a work. My friends, your obedience may reveal a miracle that's already in motion. Because of your obedience, you're going to witness something that God is already doing, and you get to be a part of it simply because you crossed that line. Certainly what happened in Peter's case, seeing God's Spirit in action changes us. It changes us. Let me read this last part for you. In Acts 11, soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. That's always going to happen. When you're doing what God's telling you to do, there's always going to be somebody that's like, you're not supposed to be doing that. Why are you doing that? That's dumb. God doesn't want you doing that. The Jewish believers start to criticize him. They're like, you entered the home of Gentiles and you even ate with them? Then Peter told them exactly what had happened. I'm pretty sure Peter broke it down from the time he had the dream three times, the trip over to Cornelius, what God was doing, all this. He told them the whole thing, right? Because when Peter reveals all this to them, they have a change of heart too. They're like, oh, really? That's what happened? God's Spirit is actually working in other people's lives outside of our own box, outside of our own world? Verse 17, and since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who am I to stand in God's way? He's like, who was I to prevent this from happening. When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. So now the early church believers, those Jewish people, kind of stuck in their religious ways, God has just invited the entire church to step into forbidden territory, to step across the boundaries, and they're all starting to get it. They're like, oh, is this what the gospel's all about? Right? Peter returns to Jerusalem a different person, and because of his testimony, he changes the hearts and minds of the early church. God's Spirit is moving on the hearts of believers, older believers and newer believers. They adapt the same new shift in perspective that Peter experienced. My friends, you cannot walk where God leads and stay the same. You're going to come back different. When you cross that line into that uncomfortable space that God is calling you to, and you experience what God's Holy Spirit has for you there, it's going to change you. It's going to change who you are. Some of us are like, oh, I'm just looking for a breakthrough in my walk with Jesus. Well, maybe it's time to be obedient to what he's calling you to do. Step into that uncomfortable space and do what God's asking you to do. You're not going to return the same person. Peter thought he understood borders. He thought he understood how that worked. But God showed him that mercy crosses over those lines, that grace ignores the barriers, and the gospel is going to go wherever God sends it. Some of us have borders, right? We have assumptions. We have fears. We have prejudice. We have routines. We have our comfort zones. We have categories of people that we quietly believe they're outside of God's reach. We all have these barriers that we have built up, these walls that we've built up. But it's like Oswald Chambers said, the gospel of Jesus Christ always forces us beyond ourselves, outside of who we think we are, because we have to be transformed into who God wants us to be if we're going to be messengers of the good news. So ask yourself, who have you written off? What border have you built up? Where might God be asking you to cross the line? For some of us, we don't have to think very hard about this. Pretty sure God's already been dealing with you on this for the last 30, 40 minutes. You may find God is already at work on the other side of the line that you are afraid to cross, and that the miracle he wants to do through you is just on the other side of obedience. The amazing work that God wants to do is just waiting for you right on the other side of that line that he's asking you to cross. So pay attention to how he's moving, what he's doing, and be ready to respond to God's Spirit. And my prayer for you, as we're working our way through this action adventure called Acts, my prayer for you is that you discover the answer to this question. How is God inviting you into Spirit-led trespassing this week? That's what we're gonna call it. Spirit-led trespassing. That's crossing the line into a place where maybe you've forbidden it. Maybe you feel super uncomfortable in that space. How's God inviting you into Spirit-led trespassing this week? You know, we always say something like that at the end of our time together. We say, you know, this week, what's God going to do? Why is that? Because whenever we open God's word and we spend time in it and God reveals truth to us, it's like he always gives us opportunities to put it into practice. And so this week, you're going to have an opportunity to step into an uncomfortable space for the sake of the gospel, to share God's love with somebody. Maybe it's repairing an old friendship. Maybe it's just stepping into a group of people that you just don't hang out with and you don't know that you'd be comfortable around them, but you know they need to hear the good news. Be ready. Discover how God is inviting you to do some Spirit-led trespassing this week. Would you guys pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for the way that you worked in Peter's life. We see Peter as this early church leader who's just seen the gospel reach so many people. And even Peter had a big lesson to learn, that there were places that he needed to cross that he wasn't comfortable, that years and years of religious rules and boundaries had told him, don't go there. And yet you told him to go there. And because of that, the gospel spread to the entire world. Maybe there's spaces that God is waiting for you to say yes, so the gospel can spread a little bit more in your world. My prayer for you, my friends, is that you would respond to that. Thank you, God, for loving us. Give us opportunities this week to cross over those lines for the sake of the gospel. Help us pay attention to what your Holy Spirit is doing, Father. I pray this for every single one of us in this room today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Look for opportunities this week for do some spirit-led trespassing. Does that sound good? Awesome. Have a great Sunday.
All right, we're going to have one more song. Feel free to... You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You've thought of us before.